Hello, dear podcast listeners. Normally, I would welcome you to a drink with European media creators, but not today. Since we had a short summer break, this episode is a special. For that, we chose the fireside chat I had with Norbert Grundei, head of the audio strategy department at Norddeutscher Rundfunk at our SNESE edition 2020. There may be a change in audio quality from our usual content, but we hope you will enjoy the interview nonetheless. Have fun.
So, Norbert, I hope you're there right now. I heard that you're waiting for me. Hi.
I'm here. Nice to meet you.
Thank you very much. Such a pity that I didn't manage to meet personally right now at the moment. Yes. Because you're in Hamburg and I'm in Cologne. So
no fireside here, but...
yeah, and no fire behind me, so
yeah.
Perhaps yeah. We could arrange that sometime. That would be super, super great if we just come together. And do you know in Hamburg somewhere a restaurant where there's a fireside?
Well, I don't really know. At my home, there's a fireside, okay. But at the moment, they are working on it. So I don't know if it really could function at the moment. But next year, maybe.
All right. Yesterday, what I asked Erich Spiekermann when I had a fireside talk with him, I asked him if he would know whether the term fireside chat comes from. Do you know it? Because you're a radio man, you have to know that, don't you?
Well, I don't really know. I have seen so many fireside chats without fires, so I'm not sure if it really has something to do with fire anymore. But of course, maybe a century ago or something like that, people sat around a fire and talked about something. But I have never been to a fireside chat with a fire. To be honest.
The thing is that what I have heard, and that was what I told yesterday, is that the first fireside chat was the chat with Franklin D. Roosevelt, and it was a radio chat. It was the evening radio addresses of Franklin D. Roosevelt, the political president of the United States, talking to the audience, to all the Americans, and just relaxing the Americans.
Well, if it was like that, I should have known that, but... I don't really know, but I have to look after it in some of the radio books behind me.
All right. Would be great to do so. But afterwards, I would like to talk with you about the public media sector, of course, because you're in the public media sector. Then the revolutions of the public media sector. You are personally very engaged in revolutioning the public medias. And of course, you yourself, Norbert Grundei. So who are you, Norbert? What would you say?
Oh, who am I? Well, I would consider myself as a creative manager in the public media sector, if I would have to take it in very short terms. So I am working for public media since 1994, and I started at Enjoy, which is the young program of the NDR in Northern Germany. And over the last 25 years, I think I really engaged in or always engaged in looking for new ways of distribution and new formats and new ideas and innovations for radio. And at the moment, I think this is the most exciting situation for audio since the last 25 years. So when I started at Enjoy in 1994, that was also revolutionary because it was one of the first young radio programs in Germany. We had no competition. So if you wanted to listen to a special song, you had to go to a shop and buy it, or you had to wait for MTV to play it, but there was no really competition in the young music and media market. And if the people wanted to contact us, they sent a fax. So this is really a long time ago. It's true. It's really a long time ago. And everything has changed in a very disruptive way. But during the change, we talked a lot about video in the last 10 years. And now I think since 2 or 3 years, we're talking a lot about audio again, because podcast is really going through the roof.
Yeah, that's really interesting, I thought, because when I remember my first Mediennetzwerktreffen in NRW, I think that was in 1996, something like that, the real hot topic was podcast. And it was the first podcast that I've ever heard. And they always said, this is the thing to come. And it came, of course. At that time, it was a new thing and everyone heard a podcast, but then it slowed down a little bit more. And now it's huge again. Yeah? And I'm an absolute podcast fanatic right now. So I hear podcasts whenever, wherever I go. I must admit, in the streets as well. So, okay, that's not too good. But really, I love podcasts because they are deep into it. You have a lot more information than you have from a normal session, normal format on radio as on TV. And I love things like that. So get more information about things like that. So
it's really interesting because, as you mentioned, we're talking about podcasts for a very, very, very long time. And if you look for product lifetime cycles, you always in innovation have these S-curves that describe how an innovation goes up. And so podcasts took very, very long to really go up. So it was really a very long hype thing or an underground thing. But of course, it had a lot to do with the technological development. And now I think with the technological development to go more to live streaming than to podcast, than to download something and take it with your iPod with you, that is really the change that got attraction into this podcast thing.
Yeah, that might be the explanation for that. So you are head of audio strategy at NDR, and you are heading as well the Think Radio Audio Lab at the NDR, and you are more or less program director of Enjoy. Is that correct?
We're building up the structure of this new audio strategy unit, and one part of the audio strategy unit is Enjoy, and we dedicated it to an own program director, which is Melanie Litzbar, which followed me up there. So she's in my unit with her unit, and the unit Enjoy is part of the big unit audio strategy.
Okay, so it's really strategic at the moment. Absolutely. What would you describe as your job, really? Which part is it? What are you doing daily?
Well, what I try to do is to transform the audio strategy of the NDR from a really linear strategy to a strategy which has two hands. And on the one hand is the linear, because radio still is big in Germany. So also the linear radio programs, I think all linear radio programs of the ARD are reaching 36, 37 million people in Germany per day. So this is really still a big thing. But if we look in the future, then we saw, just as we look at our colleagues from television, that in television we really saw a big change going from linear TV to non-linear subscription video on demand, Netflix, Amazon, Fire TV and all that stuff. And I think that we will also see this development in the audio world. And the thing is, at the moment in the linear world, so public radio owns 50% of the frequencies, literally. Yeah. So if you tune in on a frequency, you have a 50% chance to get public radio. But if you go to the internet, how big is your chance to get a public media offer there?
And this is all private, I think, right?
Yeah, we really have to work hard that we will get a relevant player there and that the people find us. And for that, we need new formats and new forms of audio. And this is the main topic. So I'm working with different units to create new podcast formats and new nonlinear audio formats to think about what will happen to voice and personal assistant thing. So we are looking at the whole infrastructure of audio for the nonlinear future. So that's the main part.
You're talking about the think tank, Think Radio. Is it only radio people who are in there, or is the think tank structured more about really all media people or people? Are there TV people in there as well?
Yeah, I really believe in cross-functional teams. Yeah. And so that was the main idea to build that think tank together. So we have people who are editors, we have people from science offices, we have people from entertainment stuff, we have someone who came from television to us and integrated to the think tank. We have coder in it, so we really try to put a lot of different people together with the biggest possible diversity to really create cross-functional team to realize that.
So that's great. And you have a real possibility to arrange new things, to explore new things. And how is the working together with all these people? How do you manage to get them all together to be creative?
Well, so most of them are not full-time in the think tank. So they also have another job in that department where they come from. But what really worked in the last 2.5 years is that, okay, they come from a certain department, but if they are in the think tank, they are totally committed to what we're doing in the think tank. So, and they really have a thinking about how can we drive these innovations forward. That was really interesting because it was really a mindset change. So when we created that, they weren't all innovators who come in there. So they were editors from different parts of NDR. And we really achieved a change of mindset with all these people as working together really for a product. And we really try to make all these decisions that we have to make. So is this format working? Is this good for our portfolio? On what point could we improve that format? We really try to decide that in a group style. So not that one people is sitting in front of this innovation team and saying, okay, that's good or that's bad or vice versa. So it's really, we try to discuss that. And I really think in 80% of the discussions, we really come to a conclusion in the team. Of course, sometimes you need really decision makers and decisions, of course. But that's really interesting that this is really working. And another point really is this, that we saw in this pandemic, that this team really was prepared for a remote mode of co-working.
Okay, so that was really first time on, yeah.
Yes, because so I had a really good comparison because I had one team which Think Radio, which really had a history of working remote and coming together from different departments and different locations. And of course, I had the radio station, which was not a typically remote thing. And the radio station really took some time to get in that mood. So on a technical basis, it really worked out well after 1 or 2 days. But the cultural thing, so that you know each other, that you know how to discuss in that Zoom and Microsoft Teams ecosystem, that was really something that they had to learn. And I think audio team really was prepared for that because they worked via video conferences and Slack on these terms. So that was really interesting to see these differences.
Yeah, that's interesting for me as well, because when I was at RTL, it's about 12, 15 years ago right now, but I was waiting for cross promotion. And my experience was that the people from the television and the people from radio, they are, and the people from or the print industry, they are really different people, different mindset, and they are differently working. So it was just the three different or more different cultures. And I had a big problem in bringing all these people together. It was really, I think it was 15 years too. If I would have done the job right now, I think it must have been much easier because everyone is more or less getting together to work together. And I think that is so great about your think tank because, okay, these are more or less radio people, but bringing the cultures together and bringing something new on, that's what the time is ready for now.
Hi, dear podcast listeners, and sorry for the brief interruption, but now it's time to hear about what's next with Eyes and Ears of Europe. Since this podcast is not only a podcast, but also a monthly live stream, I would like to invite you all to our next live stream in September. On 30th September, I'm going to talk to Nicolau Tudela, the art director of RTP in Lisbon. This talk will be the fourth Eyes and Ears Live after the ones I had with Cécile Schaffbert, Christa Mählstrand, and Isabel Marsilis. If you want to join the live conversation and ask your own questions, just go to eeofe.org/live. Additionally, I want you to celebrate our 25th birthday with us. The birthday party will be part of our Eyes and Ears 2021 special edition on 25th of November. In this context, the 23rd International Eyes and Ears Awards will take place too. Our awards recognize particularly creative, innovative, and effective design, promotion, and brand communication measures. The trophies are awarded in different categories in the areas of design, audio, digital, craft, promotion and cross-media. Apart from our birthday celebration and the awards, our new talents will also be awarded on that day, and we plan on different inspirational keynotes. If you want to get updates on the program, sign up to our Eyes and Ears newsletter. More information can be found at eeofe.org/2021 or in the description, where we will also have a link to our calendar, where you can find all information on upcoming events like the Eyes and Ears or our academies, the workshops of Eyes and Ears of Europe. In the show notes, you can find all the links in our link tree. Now back to my fireside chat with Norbert Grundei.
And even radio people can be very different. So yeah. You have these guys from the information radio, which are really news junkies with high blood pressure. And then you have, on the other hand, the people from the cultural programming who are a little bit more reading and a little bit more relaxed. So these are very, and you have the coding people. I think also in this distinguished editor scenarios, you have really different cultures that you have to bring together. But that was really something I didn't really expect that would spark so much, and that you really see a creative explosion out of that. And I think it was not a short way to come together, so you really had to integrate these cultures a little bit. But after that, you really have people who are totally committed in the mindset to really go into blow in the future.
Yeah, and there have been lots of projects that have been really absolutely great, I think. And the first project that comes to my mind, because I'm the absolutely podcast freak. the first project that I want to talk about with you, that was the coronavirus update, the NDR Info coronavirus update with Christian Drosten. I think everybody in Germany, everybody in Europe knows this podcast. And you were the one who had the first idea on that. How did that come?
So I think my wife would say that the real reason is that I'm a little bit hypochondriac.
And you are?
So, so I was. I call myself a healed hypochondriac. So this is maybe a reason, because I'm very interesting if something like that happens. So, and I saw a lot of TV shows in January and really was a little bit alarmed in the first weeks of January. And then, so I really saw a lot of different stuff. And but then I saw in one or two TV shows Christian Drosten. I think the main TV show was a show of an old colleague from us here in Hamburg, Jörg Thaddeus.
Oh, I love him. Great
moderator. Has a talk show. Yeah. And yeah, he's absolutely really great. Yeah. Yeah. And so he has a talk show in Berlin. And there he had the guest Christian Drosten. And I found him very interesting as an interview partner. I thought that I recognized really early that he's someone who can explain the scientific topics in a very easy manner for normal, not scientist people to understand. And also, there was one thing that he was repeating in different talk shows where he appeared, and that was that his opinion was that in this coming pandemic, so that was on a really early stage, in this coming pandemic, the most important things would be that the people have a good knowledge of the current situation. And not to panic on the one hand, but no appeasement on the other hand, but a real current understanding of the situation. And that would be very important for him. And he would see his role as someone to communicate that situation very good. And then I researched his scientific vita a little bit. And on that point, I found out how deep he really was in the topic, that he was really the expert in Germany for that kind of virus type. And also one of the experts worldwide for that kind of virus type. And then I asked me the question, how would it be if we could speak with that expert on a daily basis, the one who's an absolute expert on this topic in Germany? And on the other hand, we knew that he was someone who was consulting also Chancellor Merkel and other guys from the administration. And the thought was, how would it be if everyone in Germany got the same level of information as the political decision makers? So that was the first thought of it. And then I sat down in the evening with a glass of wine, I think. And then I thought, okay, let's ask him.
That's really important, the glass of wine. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Let's ask him. And I didn't thought that we really had the chance to do it because I thought, okay, he has so many things.
You just sent him an email. It was just.
I sent him an email. And yeah, and it was a very formal email, to be honest. So, dear Professor Drosten and stuff like that. And then the answer, I don't remember it actually totally exact, but I think the answer came a few hours later. And there was no formal thing in that email. It was just, I like the idea. I'm on my way right now. I think he was on holiday at that moment. We can start on Monday. And it was Thursday or so.
Directly.
Yeah.
Did you ask him when to start, or he just said, okay, let's do it?
No, he just, yes, and I heard in another podcast that it was really, it matched because he, on the same time when I was thinking about that idea, he actually had the idea, so how, what would be the right format to put that information in place, and so it was really, it matched on the right moment, so that was, I think, the reason why it started so fast.
That was the rebirth of the podcast again. of the science podcast, more or less.
It was really.
Absolutely great, I think. And how did you manage to, in a few days, to set the podcast up?
For that, it was really great that we had already that think tank because we had all these capabilities in place and we also knew how to scale that kind of idea in a very fast way. So on the next day, we sat together and thought, okay, how can we realize that? And we had Corinna Hennig. She is the NDR host of the podcast. And we also did a project with her a few months ago. So we knew she would be the right fit for that. And then we asked her. And one colleague, Katharina Mahnholz, is also of the science editor team. She's a part of the think tank. Mm-hmm. So really got fast traction. But I really, from a design basis, so I really remember we sat down together and creating the first logo for the podcast because we really thought about, okay, we want to put him there with his medical dress so that the people really can understand fast, okay, he's a doctor. But on the other hand, for example, we thought, how can we create the logo? We want to have him identified as a doctor, but on the other hand, we didn't want to write professor in it because it could be a little bit too distant for the people. So we wrote only with Christian Drosten. And so that were these discussions that we have on that day. And then we really tried to realize it in a fast way. And I made a phone call to Adrian Feuerbacher, which is our chief editor here at the NDR. And he's responsible for NDR Info. And we told him about the idea and said, okay, do you want to host it on your radio station? And so that were the first days. And it was really the opportunity to have the right capabilities in the right place and the people with the experience from projects in the past. And of course, the big technical capabilities of the NDR to scale a podcast like this in a very fast way.
And it's not only on NDR right now, it's on, I don't know, how many stations?
Yes, that was also a part of the first idea that we said, okay, then we have a content of 30, 40, 50 minutes every day, and we can distribute the whole content or parts of the content over a lot of channels. So we did, I think, 10 or 12 minutes edit that is broadcasted in Hessen at HR Info, at B5 Aktuell in Bavaria. We also made some cooperations with Zeit Online, Web.de, to integrate the podcast there. One of the main distribution channels in the early time was YouTube. That was really a little bit surprising. But so in the first 2 or 3 weeks, that really was the biggest distribution channel via the digital channels. So just one episode had nearly 1 million views alone over YouTube. So that was really interesting to analyze now for us, which channels can we use for the future and how is, for example, YouTube helping to find this content on Google also in a very good manner.
I found it very interesting because if you see the video, it's only you see that there's Christian Drosten sitting there with a headphone on and you see your journalist, Corinna, sitting with a headphone on. And it doesn't seem to be a video like a video you're used to. It's just a radio video. So it's great, I think. For me, it's super.
It's, Yeah, and we had at the first moment when our television department tried to create some videos with footage and stock material from intensive care units. And so we got a lot of complaints that people said, okay, we don't want to see all these moving pictures. Yeah. We just listen to the content on a video platform like YouTube. So it was really interesting to see how these different channels really work and how they can help us in the future for the next project.
That's really great. We've got 1 minute left. That's not too much. I think that, well, the half an hour was really flown away. That's because I found this topic is so interesting to me. And I really would love to meet you. And I would invite you to come over and have a glass of red wine with me so we can talk about all the projects that you will have in the next years. And perhaps we could do something together, something like let's have a workshop on how we do really good radio podcasts or really good podcasts.
Definitely.
I would really love to invite you to come over here and to do something else with Eyes and Ears of Europe as well. So thank you very much, Norbert.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, love to have you in person next time. So
thank you for having me.
I'm so happy that this could happen because I really tried to reach you for about, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know. But
yeah,
well,
sorry.
Happy to
I
be
know.
Here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye, Norbert. Thank you.
Thank you.
A Drink with European Media Creatives is produced by us, the team at Eyes and Ears of Europe, and hosted by me, Corinna Kamphausen. We strive to connect all those who deal with the strategic planning, creation, implementation and management of audiovisual communication in television, film, radio, internet, mobile, games and events. Our project managers are Ina Braun and Marion Bauer. This episode was edited by Alexandra Runden. And we thank Anselm Kreuzer for the music.